Hello and welcome back to episode 8 of The Witcher, Chaos on the Pontar, a Let's Play podcast by Elsewhere and Beyond, run using the Witcher TRPG by R. Telsorian Games. So, the party have now moved to the ship for the night, where they plan to get some rest in, now knowing that a were-rat stalks the rooftops of Oxenfurt. You all find your hammock on your beds. And is there anything anybody would like to do in the dead of night other than fall asleep, get some zeds?
Yes, please.
Okay, Oda, so what would you like to do?
I would like to quietly make my way out of the shared room and hope that Daddy doesn't wake.
Okay, interesting. You can go ahead and make... Do you know what? Rather than that, Vargan... You can just make an awareness check and a minus 5 because you're asleep. You can roll a stealth check.
Okay. I might completely fail, you know, so. 14. I'm fine.
She rolls a 14 against your 13. She slips out of the room. I need to say she slips away without you noticing, but she sneaks out of the room. And you find yourself down in the deck in the dead of night. Just the rocking of the boat to keep you company and the few candles still burning down in the mess hall of the lower deck.
Yes. I want to start making my way to the lower deck.
Mm-hmm. As slow as you can go. That's where you all are.
Oh, sorry. The portal.
I want to go to
the special room. Yes.
All right. You head up to Sansa's cabin. She wakes a second. Oda, what are you doing?
I just need to look something up and go to sleep.
I'll go back to sleep.
Yeah.
All right, you twist the apparatus on the desk. Mm-hmm. The portal hums into life and you head on into the crow's nest. All right. And what are you doing inside the crow's nest, this hidden room away from rooms, this enchanted space?
There, I want to take a place before the fireplace in the middle of the room. Sit myself down, get comfortable. Cross-legged in front of the fire. Take a deep breath and pull out the vial that I procured earlier. And take a taste of Bertha's blood, as you do.
You uncork the vial and place your little finger into the bottle. Enough to procure a single drop of blood. Archaic, perhaps, to some, but not to you. You taste it. It takes a few seconds for your ancient traditions to work, and you concentrate on the slightest of sounds and sensations around you. You open your eyes, slowly. And as you do, you feel yourself looking through the gaze of another, as if you were a passenger or a spectator without control. The vision is hazy, but you feel the candle sconce in your hand. You see the walls and tapestries of the Rosebud brothel around you. You are upstairs on the balcony, and a well-dressed man stands behind you.
The same price as usual, he asks,
and in your reply is a familiar voice. You are speaking as Madame Bertha. Yes, and I must make it clear you are afforded only 1 hour for this fee. You are not to run over again. You reach to a series of locks in front of you on the door, each one heavy and slow. But as the door begins to finally open, to reveal whatever it was so surely locking in, the vision ends.
I take this vision upon myself and...
You go to bed.
Yeah, go back to bed.
You sneak back into your hammock. And eventually, the soft snores of your father help you fall asleep. And the lot of you wake up the next morning. A little more dour mood than before, perhaps, knowing that there is a creature in the city.
Corn hopes. Fluffy make eggs.
And Buffy makes eggs. Although, it's nice to enjoy the eggs whilst you have them. Only that these won't be fresh forever. So it is eggs indeed, and you have something to eat in the morning.
Gorms of eggs!
Gorm, I do hope you get out of the pan. I can't cook if you keep getting at them.
No, sorry, Gorms, I want some eggs!
He wrestles your hands out of the pan. Just, you have eggs. But what is the general direction this morning? What is the vibe as you come around to this room, this lower deck mess hall?
So Arthwin is very determined. He's of a single mind, and he
wants eggs.
He wants eggs. The agenda today is eggs. What I was actually going to say was that he wants to get to the preparation as quickly as possible. Although he does know that the best way to prepare for a day is to have a good breakfast. So eggs it is.
Oda sits quietly at the breakfast table and, pricks her fork into her food very... quite harshly every time, and as she does take a bite, she makes eye contact with Vargan and back to her food and just continues that cycle for a little bit.
Well, he is going to first, put the fork to the side of the plate and, push the plate forward a little bit so it's... And then he folds his hands over the table. Oda, is there something on your mind?
Yes, there is. I think you and me need to talk.
Is it before or after breakfast talk?
Let's eat first.
Before we continue, Gorm joins them at the table. And he's just heavily eating, of course, but also
friend Oda! Oh, you see, Vargan last night, he drank more than 10 dwarves! All barfing and sleeping on floor, but he big drinker. And which man, he... lay arm and win. We had big party. Drinks everywhere.
I'm sure he did. My father is quite good at having fun out there by himself.
Vargan, very fun. You give him drink, he say anything.
Thank you, Gorm, for that useful insight.
Oh, you're welcome, Vargan. You're very fun. Gorm had great time. Ah.
Arthwin, is there anything you need today?
Arthwin has sort of been silently sitting there chewing his eggs, and he looks over at Oda. Actually, I was thinking, you've broken a curse for me once before, haven't you?
I do suppose.
He sort of pensively looks across the room, not really looking at anything in particular, just thinking out loud. You wouldn't happen to know how to break a curse such as the one we witnessed yesterday.
A curse of this scale I've never witnessed before.
I know painfully little about the beast we're about to combat. Could you maybe explain? Tell us what it is.
A human rat person.
The more details, the better, please.
Where rat bites and make you sick? Very bad.
We believe that the creature in question is the doctor himself, don't we, Arthwin?
At his office, I sensed no sign of any other people in the vicinity. He left through the window on the second story, leaping to the far roof. No mere human could have done that. Judging by the sights we saw last night, it's fair to assume that our doctor and our were-rat are one and the same.
How you know was Dr. Jump?
Well,
he was the only one there.
Oh.
So was he himself then to ruin his clinic, knocking over things?
I would assume so.
Does seem that way by the looks of his journal as well. He seemed scattered.
How do we combat such a beast? Does it have any weaknesses?
Smash!
Gorm, what is your mace made of?
Metal.
Steel, I'm assuming. They are vicious beasts. Quick and agile. Very dangerous. They are not particularly weak to most anything. Silver swords and magic are best options. I'm certain, though you might not have the best tools for the job, Gorm, a mace is better than possibly a steel sword would be.
God be fine.
I'm sure you will.
It would perhaps catching the beast be easier than fighting it.
They're very agile, as I said. Very difficult to trap. But we could find a way. If we can avoid fighting it, it's possibly the best course of action. But at the moment, I'm not seeing many other options.
We get fishing net from people and wait at poop hole and throw on were-rat.
You want to throw a fishing net on a were-rat?
Many fish net.
There is perhaps something we can do. We can at least explore the tunnels by day. It would be safe that way, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Explore our options. Perhaps set up a trap.
We could certainly try. But if we're going down to those tunnels, I'd like to prepare first.
So what would you like to make then?
I would like to make a couple of potions.
Yeah.
Cat potion and a golden aureole potion.
Okay. Yeah, actually both of them have the same DC. They're both 16. So if you could go ahead then and make me two alchemy checks.
Is there a way I can aid him?
I would say...
Because it's witcher stuff,
it's really interesting, right? It's really interesting. Yeah. That's if a witcher is willing to share his recipes with you. If he's willing to share his recipes with you, you can roll it for him. But then it comes down to whether you fail it or not. If you do aid him in this, I will say you can give him a +2 to the roll. But that would mean she's privy to the knowledge of your witcher potions. And that's a personal choice for you.
Arthwin really doesn't mind. He would normally probably, but he trusts Oda with his life. So a couple of potion recipes aren't going to be an issue.
Okay. So the roll that you're about to make, you can have a +2 on it. The first one's a 16, that's just enough. And the second one is a 18, which is perfectly fine. You make yourself a single use of cat and a single use of golden aureole.
Oh, there are sometimes and I just say, maybe you should
just powder that before
crush it with the flat side of the knife.
Yeah, she watches you put that in and she just makes that noise and you're like, what is it? What's wrong? I wouldn't put that in.
Oh, you sure you want to put that in raw?
Yeah.
Arthwin standing there with a hole around her brain, just like, how do I put this in again? How do I fit this in the vial?
And then she does a Gordon Ramsay. It's raw.
It's raw.
Where's the lamb sauce?
Arthwin and Oda, you are going to be making some potions for a short while. I mean, no more than an hour is spent doing that in the morning. And then afterwards, what would you two be doing for the rest of the day? Like, what would be the directive?
Personally, I think I would like to pay a visit to the Rosebud to see the ongoings there. Maybe have a chat with Sephra.
Okay, so we'll have to come to that then.
Okay?
It's fine, we can do that. So I'm going to come back to you, okay?
Yeah.
Gorm, what would you be doing?
Gorm's having a pretty chill day. He's not really concerned about the prospect of fighting a were-rat, however dangerous it might be. He's just kind of lounging about, relaxing, eating some food, taking Barksley for a walk. And he regales Fluffy with exaggerated tales of last night's revelry.
Oh, really? Oh, that sounds amazing. I don't even know if I could have drunk that much or danced on the tables.
I tell you, 100 drinks.
Enough, Flynn.
Would there be an alchemist shop or some sort of establishment where I could find some gear that could be useful?
Some armor, some equipment?
I'm thinking more like alchemist's fire or some sort of throwables or something like
well, that. Well, you do have every single recipe for all of that in the boat now, for novice level alchemical fire and things like that. So if you guys have the resources needed, Oda could make you something. You could go asking in the streets, but I must remind you the times you're living in right now.
All right, so Gorm is just lacing around then, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
Right, then he would ask Gorm if he would like to spar with him, train together.
Gorm would be delighted.
If you train the whole day away, you will go into what you're about to do with stamina missing. But if you only do it for about 3 hours, it wouldn't be a lot of IP, but you could definitely do something.
How much are you willing to spend, Gorm? I can go all the way.
I think Gorm will just go with whatever Wargan wants to do. I think the prospect excites him, so he would go along.
Yeah. What is your plan then, Wargan?
Alright, so I would like to do like the general kind of thing, like get better at evading and also using his sickle.
Okay, so is it dodge or escape, or is it melee?
It's melee.
I think Gorm would be delighted to teach him about bashing.
You two just go ahead and spend the day sparring, and I'll talk about extra IP at the end, okay?
I do want to say, however, when Oda and Arthwin are done doing the alchemy downstairs, and she would leave for the Rosebud, she would probably see them sparring. So she would tell them, like, I'm going to the Rosebud to find out what happened with Sephra. Do come along if you want, but we should all move towards the tunnels later today, before tonight.
Can anyone here make traps? Or is that something everyone can do? Or?
Everyone can make a trap.
Yeah, so we can figure that out. We can figure that out on the site. Yeah, absolutely.
You could make a tripwire. You could make a pitfall. I don't know how you can do that in a tunnel, but...
What about bombs?
Okay, you do not... no one here has... That's very exotic. I'm telling you, no one has knowledge for that.
But though something... I think I can make something like vial that explodes and like is easier to catch on fire. Things like that. But, yeah.
Well, Gorm replied to Vargan and to Oda at the same time. Like, oh, it's very dangerous at Rosebud. We go, yes?
We do.
We protect Oda, friend.
Vargan's like, we keep eye on Oda, friend.
So I guess we only spar for, 3 hours or so. We take the small one.
So we're going to say now, by about midday, early afternoon, Oda heads off the ship. And does everyone go with her? Arthwin, do you go with them as well?
I'll head off with
everyone them. Goes together, along with Oda, who heads back across the town to go to the Rosebud. There, you see, upon approaching, Wildrum pacing backwards and forwards in the middle of the lounge. The door's wide open. He's arguing with a couple of his boys.
I don't care! You're supposed to keep an eye on her, and now she's shown up dead? I can't run this place by myself. Are you mad? Get out of here.
Oda walks towards him with her gaze like fixed on him.
What?
We need to talk.
Do you have some news?
Inside.
He gestures you inside into the lounge.
Gorm draws his mace as they walk inside. He's very tense.
None of that! And he points his fingers. I've had enough of this today. You stick outside or you put that away.
Sorry!
And Gorm puts it away.
What happened here last night?
You haven't heard. Bertha has shown up dead.
And she wasn't the only one, was she? She was with someone.
Naked man!
He looks to you and looks back.
What? I don't know what you're talking about.
Can I human perception that? Does
you
he
may.
Really?
Absolutely.
Yeah? Okay. Yeah.
And Gorm kind of continues pushing him a bit in that moment, like, no. Dead man was in carpet.
14. You get the feeling he doesn't know what you're talking about?
Okay.
Hmm. Dead man in carpet. Hmm.
Dead man in carpet.
Hmm.
And you look down and the rug is missing in the middle of the floor. The big red rug that is usually under the tables here.
What is going on here? What do you have to do with this?
He looks at you all, his eyes just narrowed.
I thought you might have something more to do with this. In any case, Bertha, when she was found, she was carrying someone with her.
Who?
Naked man.
I look over my shoulder to Vargin.
A young man that fell down naked the first time we met.
He rubs the hands across his cheeks, across his jaw and his chin, and he turns away to stride backwards and forwards.
Later now. I'm learning more about my place every day. I hate this job, I hate this building, I never wanted this. Fennec, you bastard, why did you go and die?
Oh, that was where at.
What?
Well.
Hmm?
We, are still on the job. But I think it is important that we focus on what's at hand here. Where is Sephra?
He bites his lip.
Why do you need to see Sephra?
It is important.
Can you go ahead and roll me a persuasion check?
15.
He looks at you carefully.
If he stays downstairs,
and he points at the Witcher,
promise me no funny business from you. Not a single flinch. You do, and my boys come running in here quicker than you can fart.
Are you okay with that, my friend?
Arthwin thinks for a moment. He's clearly deep in thought, as if he was somewhere else. And he looks up and he nods and goes, "All right, but be very careful." And he goes and sits down.
He throws you a keychain with only just 2 or 3 keys on.
Okay, I catch it. Oda starts moving up the stairs, but she has kind of like a wide-eyed look. I'm not quite figured it out.
I mean, Gorm follows, and I'm saying, oh, Gorm hates stairs.
Worgen is right behind those two.
With a hand on the banisters, you eventually get to the top of the balcony. And the door is right ahead of you, as you always saw.
Oh, they have big treasure in here.
I know why I wasn't invited.
Hmm. Is there any openings in the door? No windows, nothing, right?
No.
Take a key. Put my ear to the door.
You hear a shuffling inside.
Sephra?
Was he okay? Was he okay, Bertha?
It's not Bertha.
And you unlock the other one?
Yeah.
Now the door is, in theory, unlocked.
Can I come in?
Who are you?
My name's Oda. You've nothing to fear from me. I'm here with my friends and we're trying to figure out what's happened. I have some news to share with you. Can I come in?
There's no reply.
Vargin sort of places a hand on her shoulder and tries to go in first.
Push in first, Vargin. The door opens. Immediately.
Don't hurt me! Please, I'm not dangerous!
A feminine-shaped figure would plead. Her hands come up in a surrender across her face. Curled horns adorn the woman's head. Locks of full auburn hair frame her face. Her eyes would be soft and doe-like, her body curvaceous and lithe. She would be scantily dressed, with pagan-like tribal tattoos of white ink upon her skin. She has a silk shawl tied around her waist, and natural fur would grace its way down over her hips and a pair of goat-shaped legs, each ending with a cloven hoof. Before you is a succubus.
Ooh.
Can I roll on that?
If you want to roll monster lore on what a succubus is, you may definitely.
Gorm also walks inside and he doesn't seem very surprised by this lady thing. He just kind of smiles at her with his dopey expression.
Hi!
She is feeling incredibly overwhelmed right now, and her fingers clench up together, and you start to see flickers of flame at her fingernails.
Oda puts up her hands.
Be at peace. I'm not here to harm you.
My Gorm hurt you?
She just whimpers a little bit, looking down at you, and her hooves clop backwards. She takes a few more steps back, and she puts her hand on the walls around her.
What are you doing here?
We have questions for you.
She moves across and she sits at the bench beside a neat vanity cabinet. And she starts to grab a hairbrush and just run it through her hair in an almost rhythmic motion of just comfort at this point.
It's important to know that no matter what you say, we'll not leave this room. Please speak truthfully and honest.
Bertha says there's a witcher with you. Is that true?
He will not come upstairs as long as he has no reason to. We only have some questions.
Doesn't appear to be easy to read as she's looking around. The fear clearly taking a hold of her, but she's looking at the door, she's looking at the windows.
Speak, then.
Oda will see if she can find a seat somewhere nearby. And
what's Gorm doing as she's taking a seat?
He's looking around a bit, smelling around a bit, see if there's like any signs of blood or violence or anything.
There is blood on the floor. You see there is impacts in the sofas. The four-poster bed is cracked at one point. Lots of scuff marks on the walls. You do see dried blood on the quilts and on some of her garments, which are laid out.
Gorm looks at her, narrows his little beady eyes like, "Why you kill naked man?"
Bertha said that he'd be okay, that he was fine. But then I just...
But then?
I need my sedative, she says as she leans forward. If I have my sedative, I'm not so dangerous.
The doctor, did he provide that for you?
He did. Yes. Bertha, you need to tell her I cannot see any more of her clients, not until I've had my sedative.
No, Bertha did.
No.
And she sits up suddenly, like really concerned, clear anxiety just in her eyes.
I've got to get out of here.
It's okay.
Without Bertha, I...
But we have boat. You can come with us.
Oh, Gorm.
Please, Gorm. Let us think this calmly and carefully.
Let's not jump to any conclusions.
Why do you need a sedative?
What do you know of us, man?
That you're a succubus. You're cursed with insatiable lust.
We are not cursed. No. We are who we are. We are lust and desire. We feed off of it, just as you feed off of fruit and barley.
So you're never once burdened by taking the life of another.
With each other, we are more durable. With you humans, well, you are fragile.
Her features soften to a memory. She looks down to her hooves.
I had an agreement with the doctor to help me. We learned sedatives could tame the hunger. They worked differently for me. I felt calm and in control. It was a joy to spend my time with clients, no longer a risk. Bertha and I worked well together with the sedative. She profited from the clients, and I had my needs met, and nobody got hurt.
That is your agreement.
But if Bertha is gone, then I must leave.
You come with us.
She looks down at you, Gorm, and shies a little bit away from you, concerned. Standing up now, she walks over to the window.
Unfortunately, we are not here for your fate, but we are here for the fate of Dr. Barry Hart.
No. We save magic thing from from witch killer people. See magic thing. She come with us.
Mm.
She turns around and she looks slightly away and goes,
I don't know where Dr. Berryheart is.
But you were close to him. He provided for you?
He would visit me. Just me.
You must have noticed a change.
She takes a step in your direction, Oda, offering to take your hand into hers.
Carefully extend my hand.
She softly runs a finger over your upturned palm and gazes into your own eyes suggestively. You wear no perfume, but your beauty is like the sea. Your strength is the pain you bear. And she begins to move closer as she speaks.
Daddy over there.
Gorm's gesturing seems to break her out of her torpor. And she peers over to Vargin and says,
you were born of good stock.
He sort of like puffs his chest out because he knows. He is good stock, but neither... Please, we need to concentrate.
How you make where at?
I'm not sure I know what you were talking about.
The doctor. It looks like you know more. You know what he has to do with the murders, don't you?
She pauses and she is in conflict. You see that she tries to lean forward to speak, but then she stops herself.
We're not here to harm him. Only lift.
What ails him?
She says as she looks at the door and she keeps her voice low.
Let us be honest, as we said when we entered a room.
Then let me be honest here, so that you understand my plight. Without Bertha, I will be found and killed.
Oh, no. We have boat with secret room. You come and you can go to Ilya, mate, and all good.
Gorm, please. Sephra, there are conditions if you're going to come with us in any capacity. First off, we need to find out how to make you that sedative. Do you know how to make that sedative?
No, but the doctor did.
Ona looks out the window to consider for a moment before she looks back at the succubus. We'll get you out.
Gorm, agree.
You can't help him anymore. He was cursed upon his travels.
Do you know the full story?
There was a girl, sick with plague. The village was ravaged when he arrived. He told me there was little he could do but offer mercy. But of course, not every mother chooses mercy for her child. Not every mother can accept the truth. She was a witch. He angered the wrong village elder, and she spat a curse in his name. And when he returned, he was frightened. His teeth were falling out, his skin blotched and his hair thinned. He grew a great need for me, and I could not return this feeling. Though I needed his potions.
We'll see what we can do about Berryheart. Have you told us all?
I knew I could not continue without my potions. I found a way out, and I left this place. I left my room. Doctor, he was not well. His home was in ruin within. Similar to the man before me. The day after I saw him, he was changed. He was moving across the rooftops. I knew that was him.
But Berryman move all his stuff.
I never returned. I wouldn't know.
We were hoping for an alternative way of handling him.
The woman who cursed him resides far away. If you cannot end his suffering, then flee this place. And if you cannot show him mercy, then all of you are risking your life to be here.
We're at very bad, kill many people. You put on more clothes and maybe big hat, we get you to boat, hmm?
Sephra heads over to a bearskin rug and she kicks it aside with a hoof. She kneels down and she peels up a floorboard with surprising strength and ease. Forget about him and I will pay you more than whatever this hunt owes you. Forget about him and this can be yours instead. She gestures to the partially revealed lockbox, evidently nestled down below the floorboards.
No. We get you to boat. You safe. We kill rat. Then we go.
How do you reckon we'll get you out? Do you have a plan? Or we can take you on our boat, but getting there.
The men outside keep me here now. For Bertha, this was a business. For Wildrum, I am his prisoner.
Oh, it's okay. We tell Arthwin to beat up people.
I suggest we talk to the now new owner of the establishment. Find the doctor. See what we can get, not get. We'll come back for her. I see no other way.
We also tell Arthwin not to punch lady. And Arthwin just had sex last night. He not so horny now. You safe.
Never mind.
Wildrum is very expressive in the fact that he doesn't want to own this establishment. So, surely, we can find a way to get it all out of his hands. Now that Bertha's not around anymore. Maybe that will provide for a way for you to get out.
Gorm kind of frantically points to the kind of lifted board in the floor. Give money! People love money.
Why should I give that man my money?
We need money first, so you give money now.
So you do want my money?
All that better with words.
Okay, I would say at this point, Wildrum has been downstairs with Arthwin for a while, and he looks over to Arthwin and says, I'm going upstairs. He bolts right up those stairs towards the room.
Arthwin stands up as he does and sort of moves to follow.
Do we hear the footsteps?
You would do, yeah, easily.
If we get you out, we will find you by midnight.
She nods in a form of agreement, and as Wildrum and the Witcher make their way up the stairs and then into the room, she would retreat away and press her back against the wall.
Oh, don't worry, it's safe. It's just Arthwin.
I was getting a little restless.
Wildrum remains on the balcony as he says this outside the room.
I think you're all done here. So go do your job. I'm losing business.
I think we are.
You don't like business.
Well, I like it less when the punters ain't paying us, that's for sure.
If we find your buyer for establishments.
A buyer? You think I haven't tried to sell this cruddy hole?
Arthwin sort of making his way up the stairs. You can just barely hear people talking about buying the brothel and he's very confused.
Well, Gorm waddles up to Arthwin. He's like,
succubus lady in locked room. Very dangerous, but we save. So leave, man by, leave with boat.
Gorm, why on earth would you say that out loud?
Yeah, I've had enough. Boys!
He gives a shrill whistle and you hear the sounds of doors opening downstairs, footsteps, and the clambering of his lackeys as they fill into the building.
Well, Gorm draws his mace and shield.
Oh, and it pulls up her hands. I think we can work this out still without weapons.
That's if you can still talk when you're black and blue.
And with that, he continues to walk away towards the stairs.
Okay.
Ooh, I think that is where we're gonna stop today and leave it on that note, and we'll find out what happens next time on The Witcher: Chaos on the Pontar. Until then, bye bye.